Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
We're going through the Gospel of John. We're finishing chapter 8 today, so I'm going to read verses 31 through 59. It'll be displayed on the overhead. You may have your Bible or read it on your phone or even on the back of the sermon notes. The text is included there. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Everyone wants freedom. We want freedom from fear and guilt, freedom from bitterness and depression, sinful habits, a sense of inadequacy. And Jesus knows that. He wants to meet all of our needs, not just when we get to heaven, but now. Verse 32 is a much quoted verse, very familiar. "The truth will set you free." This verse has been quoted a lot outside of the faith. There are many colleges, even in America, that have that phrase as their motto, Caltech. Also, Johns Hopkins, many others. The American Nazi Party has used that phrase. So have various White House spokespersons. It's written on the lobby of CIA headquarters. Malcolm X used it. So do environmental groups. Even drug users use that as a catchphrase, the truth will set you free. There are a lot of truths out there that claim to set you free, but what will? The truth about Jesus. Jesus offers us a sequence in verses 31 and 32 that must be in order. If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We abide in my word. Jesus' teaching found in the scripture. How do I abide? I live in it. I hold to it tightly. I stay put. I set up camp. I build my house there. Let me use another analogy. Let's say you're a mountain climber and you're a novice. You're just learning. And the expert who's training you for a time goes off by himself and he's climbing up the mountain just by grabbing the rocks. Are you going to do that too? Not at first. You're going to use the rope that he set you up with. If it were me, and it wouldn't be, I would stay very much attached to that rope. It doesn't matter what the professional does. I'm staying connected to that line. I'm abiding with that rope. Jesus Christ is my lifeline. He's my rope. He's my life. And as I cling onto him, I'm abiding. Then you will know the truth. God's word guides my thinking and decision making. I'm truly amazed at times how little Christians really know of their Bibles. One Christian organization, I think it was on their Facebook page, just put out a little test to see just the basic knowledge of the people who would respond. Here are some of the answers, and I think you can figure out the questions. The first book of the Bible, it's Genesis, in which Adam and Eve were created from an apple. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Unleavened bread is bread made with no ingredients. Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not admit adultery. Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. Solomon had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. The people who followed Jesus were called the 12 decibels. The epistles are wives of the apostles. A Christian should only have one wife. This is called monotony. So there you have it. The level of Bible knowledge of folks out there. We laugh because we know the answers to those stories. But Hosea 4:6 brings us back down to earth. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. My people, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. A lack of knowledge is deadly. I heard a story of an Iraqi woman who fled Iraq. She was a Christian. Because of the persecution there, she came to America, but after a while left to go back to her home country because she said, it seems like American Christians are asleep under a satanic lullaby. It's crucial that we're in the Word daily and that the Word of God becomes a part of us, that we're putting into practice in our everyday living. And it's getting tougher and tougher to know the truth in our culture because our culture has by and large rejected truth. There are no absolutes. We do what we want to do. We call good evil and evil good. Abraham Lincoln once asked a group of people, if you were to call the tail of a dog a leg, how many legs would that dog have? And the group all said, five. And he said, no, it would still have four legs. It doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter what our culture calls it. It doesn't matter what the world calls it. What matters is the truth. Now, we've all seen commercials with dead people interacting with living people. You've seen those commercials. And all the special effects that are in movies, the computer enhancement, AI-generated stuff, the truth has become fuzzy. We can no longer trust our eyes. Deception is growing stronger and stronger, my friends, and will increase until the end of the age. And so Jesus calls out to us and says, hold on to me, and you'll know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. You will experience the true life, abundant life, which cannot be digitally enhanced. You can't digitally enhance peace or airbrush joy or cut and paste life. It's got to be real. Genuine freedom is found only in relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll know it's true when you're free. So what do we call a person who is walking in the truth? We call them a disciple. The word Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament. And the word disciple is used 269 times. A Christian is a title that anyone can call themselves. But a disciple, literally, the Greek word means learner. They're a follower, a doer, someone who is acting upon the truth. Now, the context of the passage that I just read was the Feast of Tabernacles. Still, Jesus is still in the court of women, still having a conversation. The Pharisees are still arguing with him. Others are putting their faith in him, but they don't know much about him. The Pharisees, meanwhile, are rejecting the truth. They couldn't handle the truth. And they begin a line of reasoning in verse 33, which Jesus picks up on and uses throughout the rest of this text. They say, we're sons of Abraham. And so the Abraham theme, well, Jesus will come back to it time and time again. He will try to help them to see the untruth that they're dwelling in. He'll also give us insights. In fact, let me share with you 3 barriers that I think from this passage that we need to break through to the truth. The first is, admit you're a prisoner. Admit you're a prisoner. Verses 33 to 37. Listen, you're not free if you're still in prison. I have to recognize and acknowledge that I'm enslaved. If I can't or won't admit that I'm in bondage, I will never be free. The reason Alcoholics Anonymous is such a successful program is the person admits, I'm an alcoholic and I can't free myself. I need help. They said, we've never been slaves. Excuse me? What planet are they living on? Did they forget for 430 years they were slaves in Egypt to the pharaohs? Did they forget that they were slaves to the Assyrians and to the Babylonians who actually came into their land, carted them off into captivity? And right at that very moment, the Roman Empire had its boot on their necks. And they say, we've never been slaves to anyone. How preposterous. But let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps they meant it spiritually. Hello? When the Jewish people came into the Promised Land, into the land of Canaan, almost immediately they began to worship the local pagan deity, Baal, and worshiped his idols. They worshiped Chemosh. They sacrificed their children to Moloch. They erected Asherah poles. They were constantly serving false gods. It's easy to think, I'm not a slave, I'm free. And we can rationalize the truth away, blind to our own lust, which we very clearly see in everybody else. So are we really free? Jesus in verse 34 calls it sin. If I practice sin habitually, I'm in bondage. Read Romans 6. Listen to Paul in Romans 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And then dropping down a little further in that chapter. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Jesus died to set us free from sin, and only Jesus can set us free. But they were rejecting Jesus. They thought they were holy and good enough. They had murderous thoughts toward him. They were slaves of their own murderous thoughts. Unless you see and admit it, you'll always be in bondage. Reminds me of the little story of a boy named Johnny and his sister Sally who were visiting their grandparents' farm. And Johnny's grandpa got him a slingshot, so he was out trying it and shooting things. He saw grandma's duck walk by. And he took a slingshot, and amazingly, he hit it and killed the duck. And he hid it behind the woodpile. He looked over and saw his sister Sally saw this. So, after lunch, when Grandma said, "Sally, I need you to help me clean up the dishes," and she said, "Johnny wants to clean up the dishes." And then she looked at him and said, "Remember the duck." After supper, again, "Sally, come help me with chores. Johnny wants to help you. Remember the duck." So Grandma was looking at Johnny, and Johnny finally, after a couple of days of this, doing all the chores, said to Grandma, "Grandma, I'm sorry, I killed your duck." And she said, "I know, I saw you out the window. Because I love you, I forgive you. But I was wondering how much longer you were going to let Sally make a slave out of you. So let me ask you, are you a son or are you a slave? You're one or the other. So what's your identity? If you are a son or a daughter, you're in your father's house forever. Ishmael was a son of Abraham by Hagar. Abraham kicked him out of his house. Isaac was a son of Abraham by Sarah. He stayed because he was a true son of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and Sarah. So when you hear and believe the truth, you pass from death to life. You are adopted into God's forever family. You are a son or a daughter. It says this in John 1. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. You are a son or a daughter, so live like it. They were physical descendants of Abraham, but not spiritual. He also asked him, are you leaving room for the word? He says, my word finds no place in you. They had no room for the word of God. It reminds me of Christmas time when there was no room for them in the inn. No room for God. Our lives are so busy. Our lives are packed with even many good stuff, right? Like our garages are so packed, we can't even get our cars in them. Our closets are so full, we don't even know what clothes we have. We have no room for God, no room for the Word. It may mean getting up a little bit earlier to spend some time with the Lord. It may mean turning off the TV a little bit sooner. The Pharisees had their rules and regulations, but they had no room for God and His Word. Here's the second thing if I truly want to be free. I admit what I'm doing isn't working. Admit what you're doing isn't working. We see that in verses 38 through 47. Jesus tells them, you have murderous thoughts. Now, how is that godly? 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. Abraham didn't have murderous thoughts. That should have woken them up. Yes, he's right. We are having murderous thoughts. That isn't good. That's not holy. That's not right. That's sinful. Something showing me I need to change. Have you ever asked yourself, if what I'm doing is so right, why are my outcomes so wrong? It's like being in prison and you have access to the machine shop. And so you've been making a key to fit your lock so you can get free. But it doesn't work. You try it time and time again. You're constantly on that lathe or whatever it is, that machine, making keys. But they never work. For 40 years, you're still stuck there and your key doesn't work. Maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe change the mold. Ask yourselves, what habits in my life need to change? I want to tell you about Thomas Constein's history story, The Three Edwards. He describes the life of Reynald III, the 14th century Duke of what is now Belgium. Grossly overweight, Reynald was commonly called by his Latin nickname, Crassus, which means fat. After a violent quarrel, Reynald's younger brother Edward led a successor of a revolt against him. Edward captured Reynald, but did not kill him. Instead, he built a room around Reynald in the Newark Castle and promised him he could regain his title and property as soon as he was able to leave the room. This would not have been difficult for most people since the room had several windows and a door of near normal size and none were locked or barred. The problem was Reynald's size. To regain his freedom, he needed to lose weight. But Edward knew his older brother and each day sent a variety of delicious foods. Instead of dieting his way out of prison, Reynald grew larger. When Duke Edward was accused of cruelty, he had a ready answer. My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave whenever he so wills. Reynald stayed in that room for 10 years. And wasn't released until after Edward died in battle. By then, his health was so ruined, he died within a year, a prisoner of his own appetites. Jesus asked them, who is your father? They said, Abraham. He said, no, it's Satan. They were shocked and outraged. Jesus wasn't playing nice. He told them the truth. God has created all human beings, that's true, but He is only the Father to those who place their faith and trust in Him. So do my actions reveal God as my Father or Satan? Satan's a liar and a murderer. He wants to destroy lives. That's why the world we live in is so bad. People act like their father. They do Satan's will instead of God's and will be held responsible for their actions. So a question for us is, am I hearing God's voice? If God is my Father, I will. And if I'm not, maybe I'm lost. And like a rescuer will say, come to the sound of my voice. We come to the sound of God's voice. Thirdly, stop resisting and start trusting. Verses 48 through 59. Unfortunately, they kept resisting. They kept arguing against Jesus, and here are several things they were doing. Letter A, slander. During an election season, I absolutely hate the political ads. I get so tired of them. I just want the election to be over, so we're just not bombarded with all this negativity. I wonder sometimes, why couldn't someone just do something so totally different? By being positive. My opponent has many good traits. We agree on quite a few things. Here are a few things that we disagree on that I think you should consider me for the candidacy. But they call Jesus a Samaritan and demon-possessed. Imagine the nerve to call God in human flesh that. Was that the truth? No, it was slanderous. Jesus wasn't a Samaritan. He was a Jew. It was totally a derogatory term that's saying, you're not one of us. You ever find when someone is losing an argument, that's usually when they resort to slander and name calling? Here's letter B. These Jewish people were proud. pride is a second way we keep on resisting. They asked Jesus, "He's greater than Abraham. Who do you think you are, Jesus?" They were proud. They thought they were smarter than Jesus. And so they resisted the truth. Jesus responds to them. And in the last few verses of John, it's like lightning bolts. That's what William Barclay calls it. Jesus responds with four statements that are like four lightning bolts right to their heart. The first lightning bolt in verse 51, "He who keeps my word will never see death." Well, as you can imagine, they didn't take that very well. "You're demon-possessed. Now we know you're crazy." But they did not understand spiritual words. Yeah, we'll die physically, but not spiritually. John 11, 25 and 6. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." The second lightning bolt in verse 55. "You don't know God. I do. I'm intimately acquainted with him because we're one." They had information about God, but not a personal relationship with him. And that's the way it is with many people in the world. I read where Joseph Stalin at one time had memorized large sections of the New Testament, yet killed millions of his own fellow countrymen. Head knowledge, not heart knowledge. The third lightning bolt in verse 56, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." You're not even 50 years old. Abraham's been dead for 1900 years. That's impossible. Did Abraham see Jesus on Mount Moriah when he offered his own son as a sacrifice and then God provided the lamb? Fourth lightning bolt, verse 58. "Before Abraham was born, I am." The sacred name, Jesus used it. YHWH, the tetragrammaton, the four letters. The name that God revealed himself as at the burning bush to Moses. The holiest name of God. A name so holy they didn't write it or pronounce it. There was no doubt in anyone's mind, certainly their mind, who Jesus was claiming to be right here. So who is Jesus to you? A prophet? A good moral teacher? Or is he God and your Lord? What was their reaction? Letter C. Violence. They picked up stones to throw at him. They wanted to kill him. They were enraged by his four lightning bolts, if you will. They said, "This is blasphemy." But Jesus slipped away, which he did often. John chapter 8 is an interesting chapter. It begins with some religious guys wanting to stone an adulterous woman. And it ends with some religious guys wanting to stone Jesus. So how do people react to Jesus? They either drop their stone at his feet and leave upset, or they bow at his feet. They either throw their stones to kill him or surrender to his will. There is no neutral ground with Jesus. He hasn't left that as a possibility for us. So what are you going to do with the stone in your hand? You must choose. If you drop your stone, you'll be free. If you throw it, you're going to stay in prison, a prison of your own making. So look more closely at the stone that's in your hand. God made it. It's the rock of our salvation, the rock upon which we stand. I can't afford to throw this stone at anyone, and especially Jesus. Because I desperately need his grace. So I drop my stone and surrender to him today. Let's pray. Jesus, you were so patient and long-suffering with these your enemies who were resisting the truth. And once we did too. We were no different. But Lord, you showed us grace. Your Holy Spirit revealed our sins so we could confess it and turn to you. And you gloriously saved us and made us your children. Let us walk as your children in the truth, in the light of life. Lord, we've confessed our sin today. We want to be pure in your sight. We want to walk holy with you. Help us, Lord, each day as we leave this place to walk in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.